thinking, and I'm with you through till 4 o'clock this afternoon. Now, how does a man who studies theoretical physics at university end up writing novels? I thought science and art were completely separate. And he goes on to win major literary prizes. Well, let's ask him. Andrew Croomey is with us today. He's won the Northern Rock Foundation's Writers Award, which is worth 60,000 quid, which sounds a lot. Well, it is a lot. Over 3 years, though, that's like 20 grand a year, and you've got to get cracking, haven't you, Andrew?
That's right. I'm hard at it already, yeah.
So this is it. It's no more day jobs.
No, that's right.
Concentrate
I'm just
on the
getting on with the book, and well, the publisher's given me till January to get this one finished I'm doing just now, so I'm plugging away at it. It's all on course.
And where exactly are you in it then? The book is Sputnik Caledonia, or is that the working title?
Yeah, well, that's working title, but yeah. I mean, I think it's quite a good title.
It's
so
a great
probably
title.
The one I'll stick with.
Give us a little summary of what the story's about.
It sort of starts out with a story of a little boy in Scotland in sort of 1970s who dreams of being an astronaut, and it sort of goes from there. Into all sorts of directions, really.
Okay.
He ends up being an astronaut.
Fantastic.
In a kind of parallel reality.
Okay, but, parallel reality.
So then it's getting into all that
right.
stuff.
I knew it wouldn't
yeah.
take long. It wouldn't take long. Because because science and art, well, they're not separate for you, are they?
No, they're not. I mean, I think, we live in this world where everything is in little boxes. And from very early on, you know, at school, you've got to make all sorts of choices about, are you an artist? Are you a scientist? Are you this? Are you that? And, I don't like sort of putting things in boxes. I mean, I'm interested in ideas, and you can do that in art, you can do it in science, you can do it in all sorts of things.
But going back a bit to your education and choosing to study something at undergraduate level, you have now a first in maths and theoretical physics, right, which sounds incredibly, incredibly impressive to a woman who's only got a CSE grade 3 in maths.
Well,
so you know that's really something. It sounds like at some point during your education, you made a choice. You did put yourself
sure,
in a box.
Sure,
didn't you?
Sure. But you know, even when I was at school, I mean, I thought then one day maybe I'll end up writing books. But the reason I did science at university was because I was just really interested in it, and that's what I wanted to do. And I thought, well, if I don't learn it at university, I'm never going to learn it. It's the only way you can do it, really. So, now you often hear people sort of, they want to study something because they'll get a certain job, it's good for their career, and all the rest of it. And I always take the attitude, if you're interested in something, then just do it, you know. And that's how I've always lived my life. You know, I don't start with some big master plan. You just do the things you're interested in. So, you know, right now I'm interested in writing books. That's what I do.
Give us a little idea of what theoretical physics is. You know, like an idiot's guide.
Okay. Well, it can involve things like atoms, what the world is made of, where the universe came from, what's time, what's light. Really, it's the answer to the biggest questions. I mean, how did we all get here? Where are we all going? What are we all doing? So, it's just about the oldest science. I mean, it includes things like astronomy and all these sorts of things. It's not really much concerned with biology, life science. So it's, but if you think of the science of everything else, that's quite a lot.
And take a concept like the concept of the parallel universe.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a Doctor Who fan, you'll get this kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah.
But you think that, I mean, you've used these ideas in some shape or form in your novels, in your fiction. And if you take something like the parallel universe idea, do you think that holds water? Do you think there could be such a thing?
There could be. I mean, in all honesty, I think if I really had to kind of, you know, if you sort of held a gun to my head and said, do you believe or not? I think I would have to say no. I know of an American physicist who has said that if you sort of held a gun to his head and sort of pulled the trigger, then there would be parallel universes in which he would survive. And the only reason he's not going to do the experiment is because he would sort of leave a widow behind in this world. But that's how much he believes in it. I don't believe in it that much. But the fact that that the ideas around, that interests me. That, you know, there's lots and lots of stories now, not only in science fiction, but people are forever sort of thinking, well, what if history had gone differently? What if the past had worked differently? And, I mean, 100 years ago, writers weren't writing books about that. People didn't write books about what if Napoleon had invaded Britain. But people do write books about what if Hitler had invaded Britain. Mm. So why? You know, something has happened to the way we think about not just history, but just the way we think about the world. You know, do we think of life as being something that we can always make choices in, or is everything sort of fate? And I think in the past, people believed much more in fate and that they couldn't really control things. Now we do.
Andrew Crumey is with us today, writer Andrew Crumey, who this year won the Northern Rock Foundation Writers Award. We'll talk some more with Andrew in just a couple of minutes. If you are getting in touch, text 07786 200 954. If you'd like Andrew to explain the concept of time in 10 seconds, hey, that would be great, wouldn't it? I bet you wouldn't need 10 seconds. If anything like that, you know, just get in touch. 07786 200 954. Life, the Universe and Chuck Berry. Riding along in my Chuck Berry, no particular place to go. We're talking to Andrew Crumey this afternoon here on BBC Radio Newcastle, award-winning writer. The Northern Rock Foundation Writers Award has just been awarded to him, or was earlier this year. You've won a few awards, though, haven't you?
Well, a couple along the way, yeah.
A couple,
yeah. Well, every few years.
Do you have a place in the house where you have, I don't know, certificates on a wall or trophies?
No, I should. I thought of putting one or two things up in the loo or something, but I just...
You haven't done that?
No.
Are you too modest?
There just isn't room, I think, so...
I think you're too modest.
Amongst all the kids' pictures and all that kind of thing. Well, with the Northern Rock thing, I actually got a very nice glass award, which is lovely, but it's really heavy. I mean, it's a great big slab of glass sort of engraved and everything. So I need a stand or something to put it on.
Where is it now?
It's in a cabinet, you know, with all our sort of prized possessions.
It's not in a box.
So it's not just sort of filed away or something. So that's being well looked after. Yeah.
We've talked about the book that you're working on at the moment, Sputnik Caledonia, about a little lad growing up in Scotland. You are obviously from Scotland yourself, but you live here in the northeast.
That's right.
What brought you here?
It was love. My wife, as she knows, was already living here, and I was living in Leeds. I was doing research there, and met her here through sort of mutual friends at a party and all this kind of thing, and ended up coming here. So it's, you know, fate and chance and all the rest of it. And the fact that she's Greek also, you know, it's very odd that we both end up being here. But as she was saying, I mean, if we both hadn't ended up being here, then I couldn't have won this award, which is only for writers in this region. So if I want to look at it from the sort of destiny point of view, you know, it was just as well. It was just as well that it sort of worked out that way.
Is she a writer?
She's not. No. She's a scientist.
So she's got a proper job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your children, I'd be really intrigued to know whether they're into the whole sort of science thing, because I do think that the way you're brought up, your parents, your teachers have such an impact on children, don't they? Whether you end up being frightened of maths or you have a great love of science.
Yeah. Well, my son is really great at maths, but I think that's just his kind of aptitude, I think. But both my kids are very musical, and that's something I've been really keen to encourage. I mean, I was always sort of quite musical as a kid, but, you know, my parents, for one reason or another, you know, couldn't get music lessons and all that. And I was always sort of nagging them to get a piano and this kind of thing, and they never did. But so I always, you know, make a point now of sort of making sure my kids get a chance to do all these things. And, you know, they love it. So, because, you know, music's quite a sort of big, important thing in my life and in my writing as well, you know. So, you've got to just give people a chance to find out what they're interested in, you know.
This is BBC Radio Newcastle. I'm Julia Hankin. Housework Hits coming up before 2 o'clock today. Right now we're talking to Andrew Crumey, award-winning writer. And one thing that really comes out when I talk to writers, we talk to a lot of writers on this programme, and if there is a common thread, it's... Well, hard work certainly pops up, you know, and it's a determination to write regardless of what else is going on in your life. Now, you are a dad. We've already found that out. You've got two kids. You have a wife, and you used to have a lot of day jobs in order to do the writing, I guess. So you have to be, you were prepared in the early days to do the full-time job and find space somewhere in your life to do what you had to do.
Yeah, I think, it's true that if you want to write, you certainly, if you want to do novels, you've just got to put in the hours. A novel takes a long time to do, and but you've just really got to want to do it. And I think anybody who really does want to write will find that space. You know, there's all these stories of Jane Austen sort of sitting, you know, while everybody else is talking and having dinner or whatever, and she would sit in a corner writing and this kind of thing. And you know, you don't have to go and cut yourself off. You don't have to go and live in a croft and, you know, in Orkney or something, and abandon the rest of the world in order to write. I think if you really want to do it, you'll find the time and you'll make the space somehow.
You get up early.
No, I don't.
Stay up late?
No, I these days, I mean, I write when the kids are at school and I'm on my own in the house, and that's enough.
But before that,
I mean, I remember when I was a school teacher, I used to be sort of writing in free periods and stuff like that when I should have been marking, you know. So I was kind of skiving a bit. But you can always find a little corner, I think, to do things. And I think as much as anything, the important thing is just sustaining belief in what you're doing. Because, you know, I meet so many people that say they want to write a novel or they've been trying to write a novel and this kind of thing. And maybe they don't really believe in the thing they're doing. Maybe it isn't what they actually want to be doing, but they just think they do. I think a lot of people who say they want to write a book, what they actually want is to go in a bookshop and see the book they have written, you know, and see it on a bookshelf.
Well, but you want that too, don't you?
Well, I mean, that's nice, but that's not what I write. You know, even if it wasn't getting published, I would still write. And it's the actual writing that I like, you know. I mean, I write books that I don't publish.
Just for the hell of it?
No, just, I mean, I don't publish them because that I don't like them, they're not good enough, or they don't work in the right way. But all that side of the writing counts for me, you know, even the stuff that nobody gets to read. And I think people that do end up writing books and really sort of go for it like that, that's what they've got in them. It's just something they're going to do, whether anybody reads it or not.
As someone who has won a few awards now, and you've also been a judge...
Yeah.
On some competitions, haven't you, on writing competitions? Mm. So you've seen it from both sides.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's very useful to get an award, and certainly the financial side of it is very nice and can be very helpful. So if you could give advice to those who are maybe hoping to write, want to write, there are a number of awards that are available in the Northeast and further afield. Is there a technique, I mean, are there any tips that you can give to anyone about what judges are looking for and what they're not looking for?
I think that, you know, the golden rule I'd give to anybody who's wanting to write is just write the stuff that you believe in. You know, don't think about the market, don't think about what people are looking for or anything about that. Just think about what interests you. You know, what would you like to read? You know, it's very easy to sort of write something because you think, oh, well, this happened to me and, you know, this is an interesting story because it happened to me. Well, it might not actually be that interesting to anybody else. But if there's a story that you feel you would like to read, if it was written by somebody else, you know, that's the kind of thing you want to write. And you've just got to stick at it. You've got to try lots of different things. You know, don't just rework the same story again and again. Write it and then write another one. And I think if there is something that the judges are looking for, what they're looking for is something that is just different and stands out from the crowd.
Mm.
You know, so kind of looking at what is doing well, thinking, oh, I'm going to write the next Harry Potter. Well, Harry Potter's been done, you know. So what people are looking for is something that they didn't expect, something they didn't know they were looking for, but once it's there, they think, that's got something.
And when can we expect to see Sputnik Caledonia?
Oh, I don't know, next year, hopefully.
Next year sometime, so you have to be finished by the end of the year, do you?
Yeah, more or less, yeah, I mean, but then the publisher has to put it all together and do all their side of it, you know.
Okay, well, we look forward to that. And nice talking to you. And you say you didn't have to give an explanation of time.
Oh, I'm disappointed.
If you want
I was
to,
looking forward
can.
To it.
I can give you 10 seconds.
10 seconds?
Aye, go on then.
Time is what makes things happen. If we didn't have it, nothing would happen.
Is that it?
That's it.
That was it, 3 seconds. Fantastic. Thank you very much.